still until the whole crowd ate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait. They would come to stay a while with us. I would have to slip around and raise a little fuss, in fear that I would spill the beans or break the china plate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them.
Time for another tonight's episode is episode 8 and is entitled Noticing Patterns with Mr. Maleficus Scott. So we'll have our good friend on Maleficus Scott here in a few minutes and see what he'd like to talk about. Also want to know what you'd like to talk about. So at the bottom of the hour, we'll be opening up the phones, but I'll go ahead and give you the number so you'll have it handy. So to call in after the bottom of the show, it's 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Or if you have to, and remember the station has to put the bill on this, but if you have to, 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And if you'd like to come out and join us in the chat room, always remember the chat room goes 24/7. We got the hottest news and the dankest memes on the interweb, if I do say so myself. You come out to bb9tradingpost.chatango.com. That's bb9tradingpost.chatango.com. And I'll put our track record against anything Mockingbird's had over the since 2015, right? So when Maleficus comes on, I wonder if he wants, what he was going to want to talk about. If he wants to talk about the weather, that's always a good thing, right? Or maybe he'll want to talk about some of the best news I heard all week, that Miss Ursula Haverbeck, the 94-year-old German scholar and publisher, won't be facing another 12 months in the chicken shack for the high crime of maybe he'll want to talk about that. Or for, you know, I don't know if he's playing the Where in the World is Ehud Barak game, but maybe he'll want to talk about that. You know, Ehud Barak, Mr. Unit 269, has finally showed up, and he's working for a new Tel Aviv-based intelligence outfit. And they specialize in spoofing security webcams. So that's a lot we could talk about if you're playing Where in the World is Ehud Barak, Ben. Or maybe he wants to talk about that Hunters, the Jew porn series, is finally going to end in series 3. And it turns out that Hitler is alive in the final episodes, right? So, you know, this is just total Jew vengeance porn. I don't think anybody else watches that show. I'd be curious if anybody in the UK watches it. Maybe he wants to talk about that. Or maybe he wants to talk about the Idaho student murderers who was a chicken swinger who sounds like he was sort of into that. So we want to talk about that maybe as far as motive. We got a lot of means and opportunity, but they're real light on what this guy's motive was. So maybe we'll talk about that. Or maybe we talk about how Iran just hung a defense minister who was a dual Iranian-British national, Ali Reza, over the claims that he was working with the MI6. So is anybody in the UK talking about that, I wonder? Or maybe he wants to talk about his granddad's 1954 book, The Hidden Government, especially Chapter 9 on the protocols and the press. That's a very interesting thing we could talk about. Or maybe he wants to talk about PETA's Joe Biden and his stash of classified documents that just keep on coming. And, you know, I don't know if he's ever handled secured documents, but I bet his granddad knew a thing or two about security and what he'd have to say about PETA Joe. And or maybe he wants to talk about the Great Reset, Globo Homo, New World Order, Young Economic Forum Leaders Summit in Davos, Switzerland, complete with 5,000 military troops for security. And we've just learned really bad performance art. Or maybe he wants to talk about the learned ADL chicken swinger Jonathan Nosferatu Greenblatt getting big mad about people noticing, got some scary numbers, keep it up, kids. Or maybe he wants to talk about the FAA grounding all flights on January 11th until a.m. due to a glitch, and then we find out this happened in a couple of other countries too. Maybe we talk about that, or maybe we could talk about how the UK MP Matt Hancock and Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, the face of New England, suspending Andrew Bridgen, you know, member of Parliament, for daring to compare, or actually just to tweet out that somebody else compared the, you know, died suddenly vaccine deaths to the Holocaust. So maybe we could talk about that. Or maybe we could talk about German Green Party replacing its own white male justice minister with a black female who has no law degree or political experience, but she's black in Germany, so therefore she's black. We could talk about that. Or maybe we could talk about the new Martin Luther $10 million big turd dog turd sculpture or maybe, whatever it's supposed to be in Boston unveiling. After it got rid of all that bad white people art, you know, they're bringing that in. Then that didn't even go over with, you know, the BLM community, I don't think. What if BLM would burn it down? But maybe we could talk about that. Or we could talk about the small French town that just got told that they have to remove an ancient statue of Virgin Mary after a regional court ruled that it violates a century-old law that forbids religious monuments in public spaces. Maybe we could talk about that. A lot of that going on in the U.S. South, in the land of Dixie. We can't have our icons up anymore, but boy, we sure have a lot of, you know, magic Negro for, you know, this was MLK week, you know, and that summoned up with that magic made him, you know, just as great, if not greater, than Nelson Mandela or St. George Floyd of fentanyl. So maybe we can talk about who really was the greatest black man ever of those three. Or we could talk about how the Detroit, Michigan area is just going crazy with children being found in strip clubs on school outings. And meanwhile, the Detroit area city is voting to allow ritual animal sacrifices for religious purposes by the new Muslim majority in that community, you know, bringing diversity to Michigan. Maybe we can talk about that. I'm sure somebody in Cornwall knows a thing about being diversified. Or maybe we could talk about the Sam Bankman-Fried FTX saga that just keeps on going. Or maybe we could talk about, you know, self-proclaimed King David, BB Netanyahu down there in Israel, or actually occupied Palestine, and he's having a really bad PR problem and has as many as 80,000 people out protesting him and his new government. So maybe we could talk about that. Or maybe we could talk about Elon Musk and Twitter releasing even more Twitter files showing the corruption of the United States government during these past election cycles. What does a British man think about American elections? Maybe he'll talk about that. Or maybe we could talk about the deafening silence from the 51 intelligence officers over the Hunter Biden laptop being Russian disinformation or not. And the silence is lifted with an Intel official, Douglas Wise, stepping up to say that they knew it was real, but they signed the disinformation letter anyway. How good and checka of them to be doing something like that. Or we could talk about the ongoing conflict in Russia and Ukraine, or the flood invaders into the UK across the English Channel every day, or the flood of invaders and fentanyl across the U.S. southern border, while our Department of Homeland Security guy says, everything is fine. This is all good. Or we could talk about all those January 6ers still in prison. Or maybe we could talk about the hundreds of thousands of white children going missing every year. Well, what are we going to talk about? So, Mr. Maleficus Scott, greetings, sir. And tell me, what would you like to talk about?
Greetings, Blackbird. What a privilege it is to be on the show, and what a list there. What a comprehensive list of potential wonderful, heartwarming, uplifting subjects we could be embracing for the show. Well, of course, I suppose being British, the first thing I ought to do is do exactly what you said at the top of the list, which was talk about the weather. I tell you what, it's... It's blooming cold over here at the moment. I tell you, it really is.
Oh, walking over here from Otmas, where it was nice and warm and everyone else is already enjoying Saturday night, but I'm over here in the cold trading post, and it was cold on the hike over here. Oh, my gosh. But we're supposed to get an ice storm tonight.
Yay.
So I was busy doing the Crow Patrol real fast, getting all the last minute prescriptions and food for us. Like, okay, we might have to hunker down for a while, Cruz. And what do you need? Because I'm going to town and this will be it, right? So I was doing that all afternoon.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, I've had actually a very short week of work this week because we've had snow and stuff down here. There's not much point in attempting to do gardening. That's my job when I'm, you know, that's my paid job, at least, when I'm not frequenting various radio shows. Yeah, it's pointless trying to weed flower beds in the snow. It's, you know, having to clear the snow first, it just seems like a bit of a laborious task. So, yeah, I've actually had quite an easy week this week. It's been kind of nice in that respect. But moving on from the weather, God, there are so many things that I'd love to talk about from your little list there. Ursula Haverbeck being one of them. What an absolute victory. I mean, talk about a steadfast or just stubborn old goat, but you've got to love her.
Oh, don't you just love her? It's like, oh, will you adopt me as your grandson, please?
Well, you know, it's brilliant that she's still got so much pluck left, you know, at that age. There's also, I noticed here, this is from ABC News, former Nazi camp secretary appeals her conviction. So there was a 97-year-old woman appealing against her conviction of being an accessory to more than 10,000 murders while she was a secretary.
Yeah, I mean, these charges are so, you know, insane. It's like bad Hollywood scripts. But, you know, that, you know, when they went after Ursula, you know, I was, you know, one of those where I didn't have a problem with any of this until after 9/11 kind of guys. And, you know, I saw them take down Sylvia Stoles, and that really got me, you know, my blood boils. Like, that was his lawyer, and you're throwing his lawyer in jail. But when they went after Ursula Haverbeck, after as much elder care as I've been doing over these past years up here in the mountains of the, you know, war-torn Appalachian region, we are, you know, ground zero of the culture wars. And, you know, to do elder care, and to see what just getting out of bed in the morning is like for most 94-year-old people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is nothing but sadistic elder abuse. Just show how ruthless they are. And I think they finally showed how ruthless they are, and people are waking up and they don't like it.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, I have worked within the care sector as well, as you know, and my other half did for 6 years. And, you know, I had the privilege of at one point serving tea to a lady. She didn't know, and she couldn't have told me anything about it. But she worked at Bletchley Park cracking codes during the war. Another guy who was completely compos mentis. I watched him. I was there to celebrate his 101st birthday. He was there present in the Normandy landings and he was born in 1919. So that just goes to show, doesn't it? You know, what a privilege it is to be able to look after these people. But as you say, yeah, they go through so much every day just to get up and get their clothes on. You know, it's what we would task as a half a day's work, you know.
Exactly. And yeah, in pain the whole time. You know, yeah, that's the other thing, is the pain management at that age.
But the point you make that it's just sadistic, you're right, because it's rather like the do you remember the bookkeeper of Auschwitz trial that happened a few years ago? And it was a guy who was counting all the money in Auschwitz, all, whether it was all the stolen money or whether he was just doing the accounts for the camp, you know, I mean. But either way, he was incarcerated for being the bookkeeper of Auschwitz. Well, uncannily, there was an interview with him probably 10, 12, maybe more than that years previous, done by the BBC. So if they, and it's still available now on YouTube, I think. So if they really wanted to get hold of these people, they could have done it years ago. It's like they've just waited until they're old, infirm, and, you know, don't have the will to defend themselves. Unlike Ursula Haverbeck and unlike this other 97-year-old woman who has essentially, what's her name? I'm just going to see if I can find it here. No, I can't at the moment. I don't want to waste give you dead air looking for the name, but I'll send you the article. You can have a little
look.
Oh,
yeah. In North Kakalaki. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say, I didn't realize you were allowed to appeal that sort of thing in Germany. I mean, something must have changed. Because she's obviously appealing her conviction. You'd think a conviction, with the totalitarian way that they are over there, you'd think that a conviction would be pretty much unappealable, especially as giving evidence is not allowed either. I mean, you'd think, but she's appealing. So there's someone else with grit and determination. You know, probably the grit and determination that she grew up with and was taught all about when she was a little girl or a young woman, you know.
Right. And along the same lines of this, you know, gang stalking group, for no better, you know, domestic terrorists, if you will, going after Ursula Haverbeck, you know, we had the same thing here with this Emmett Till myth that just keeps getting amplified by Mockingbird. And there's this poor woman that is in an elder care facility, and suddenly it's just, you know, put upon by this Antifa BLM synthetic astroturfed media thing, where they just basically terrorize this entire nursery home where this poor woman is, and she has complete dementia. So she has no idea what's going on. It's just that there are 8 zillion angry black men and angry black women, you know, baring their teeth at her, right?
Yeah.
And that she's in danger. And they are just proud of themselves because, you know, of her role that she has to, you know, suffer. And, you know, this is that blotted out ruthlessness of, you know, Bolshevism. There is no eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth with these people. I mean, they just, you know, once you have, you know, said you're not part of them, you have to be exterminated, like, you know, the Daleks, you know, just exterminate you, you know, with you don't fit in, so we got to destroy you. And that the media would go along with this, and there's no just massive outrage, you know, pushing back that this woman is being terrorized by these social justice warriors, right? So it's just a clown world.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. And it's a blanket thuggish, lazy mentality. That's what irritates me about most of it. I used to get invited to the forum meetings. Just for the American listeners over in the UK, quite a few years back now, we used to have nationalist meetings. There was the London Forum, the Scottish Forum, the Welsh Forum, and eventually there was the Southwest Forum. And I got invited up to various meetings, and nearly every single one was either disrupted or had to be moved at the last minute because of threats from Antifa and this kind of thing. And you just think, you know, I mean, at one point, it was one of the meetings I didn't actually attend, but at one point, one of the meetings was actually attacked. And you bear in mind, a lot of the people there were, you know, they're the old school nationalists of Britain. So a lot of them were sort of getting on in years, you know, and from what I hear, I wasn't present at the actual meeting, but from what I hear, a window was put through, and you know, there's a lot of elderly people there getting showered in glass, and do you know what? All these elderly people pushed back, and apparently one of them picked up a fire extinguisher, and there was an Antifa guy tumbling down a fire escape, and this, that, and the other. And, you know, I think from what I hear, I think a lot of the young duped children, kids, because, you know, most of the recruiting grounds are sort of college campuses and that kind of thing. I think these kids went away bruised and battered. Some of them, I think, were hospitalized by a bunch of old guys, you know. So there is still a lot of grit and determination in the UK in that respect. But, you know, just the whole thuggish, lazy mentality of the Antifa types, it's everything is done that's done is, as you well know, based on an emotional response and with very little historical or actual context. You know, these people are bad because they want, you know, nationalism or whatever, or they're against black people, or some basic, really sort of rudimentary string that's pulled just to catch a nerve on these young and impressionable people, and they go and get themselves seriously injured by a bunch of OAPs. I mean, if you think about it in that way, it's quite hilarious, but it's not. It's, you know, it's corruption of the youth, you know?
Yeah. So somehow it's like, was that $100 gift card from Starbucks worth it? Because it's one of the things we've learned monitoring these crowds is that's the dark currency. They pay all these, you know, rent-a-ruckus AstroTurf protesters, they pay them in gift cards because it's basically untraceable, right? And so that's the dark currency that these people are going out and just, you know, working for gift cards, you know, for hire. And if they got, you know, a thumping, you know, that's the thing with mercenaries. The first time a mercenary gets a good thumping, you know, half of them say, not for me. You know, you know, the money's not worth it. You know, and that's how these people are. They're mercenaries. They don't really believe in all their sloganeers. They just know that they hate white people. And it's like, yeah, if I can make a few bucks and hate white people, that's, you know, a good day's work, right?
Well, it saves going to college and attempting to learn something, doesn't it? You know,
right. And no matter how many times they keep lowering the stat, you know, standards, you know, it's like, okay, let's try this again. Maybe you won't all flunk out this time.
Let's just lower the standard that little bit further so that the people who are in your class who the English isn't their first language have a chance at stabbing at a degree as well. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So what else would you like to talk about?
gradualism. One of the things that, I mean, gradualism is a very broad subject, I know, and I don't tend to paint in broad brushstrokes, but the post office over here, Blackbird, over here, the post office, the Royal Mail, was told many years ago that it wasn't allowed to have a monopoly and had to allow healthy competition. So ever since then, the Royal Mail over here in the UK, and I'm going to tell you this because you're probably going to tell me something similar that's happening in America, because the whole world is having the same issues over and over. Even my little tiny province of Cornwall, you know, you can drive the full length of in just under 2 hours, and it's about 20 miles across at its widest point. Even we are having the same problems that you're having down there on the southern border, and we're having all the same problems. Cornwall is a microcosm of the rest of the world. But as far as the Royal Mail goes, they've been struggling for years to the point now where we have junk mail put through our door, because it's the only way that the Royal Mail can survive is by taking on all this sort of advertising stuff. And when they're normally taking on other people, like, you know, temporary workers, that kind of thing, to cope with the Christmas rush. So add to this the fact that to keep the public on side, and bearing in mind all the strike, a lot of the striking postal staff didn't get paid. So what on earth is the point in paying into a union if when they ask you to strike, you don't actually get paid? What is with that? basically, long and the short is they had strike action at the most profitable time of year, allowing a big international company like Amazon to step in and fill in all the gaps. Contrived, do we think? Probably. Before the lockdown occurred 2-3 years ago now, we're in our coming up third year, aren't we? So when the lockdowns occurred in Cornwall, first off, we'd never seen an Amazon van, ever. By the end of the two lockdowns that we had here in the UK, we had an entire fleet of top-of-the-range electric Mercedes-Benz Amazon vans driving round, dropping off, you know, with people in shiny uniforms and this, that, and the other. And now it has got to the point where Amazon have grown that much that they're having to outsource their deliveries. So there's now people like DPD and other courier companies have had to step in and take up the slack that has been created by the fact that more and more people are turning to Amazon, and now Amazon don't have a big enough fleet down here in Cornwall. So that should ring alarm bells for everyone. And bearing in mind that the one of the things that occurred, and probably has occurred for you guys over there as well, in fact, I'm pretty sure it has, and that is during the lockdowns and the outbreak of COVID, it ceased to be policy to post letters through the door or knock on the door to deliver a parcel. What you do is just dump the blooming parcel outside someone's door, take a photograph of it, get in your van and bugger off and go and drop off your next parcel. So this is all very well for large companies like Amazon, who, when you phone up and say, I don't have blue carpet outside my front door, but that's what the photograph's showing, and so it hasn't been delivered. The long and the short of it is the company will just say, oh, that's fine, we'll just refund you. Now, what small company can afford to do that? So when I'm talking about the gradualism I'm talking about is that policy was brought in at the beginning of the COVID measures. Now we're seeing the stripping out of very fundamental sort of resources that we have in the UK, which is, you know, like I say, the Royal Mail was an institution at one point.
Exactly, yes.
So everything is being stripped out, making way very, very gradually, like, you know, drip-fed very gently for a centralization towards, you know, essentially one company gaining the monopoly. So it's got that far, as I say, that, you know, Amazon now have the fleet that they invested in to cover Cornwall now isn't covering it. That's how many people have turned to Amazon. So it won't be long before DPD and all these other different courier companies end up falling by the wayside.
Right.
It really won't. This centralization is becoming bigger and bigger. It's like a huge snowball. It's like an avalanche. It really is.
It'd be fascinating to sit down with you and actually map out the timeline, because here, basically the same slime mold has been attacking our postal service as well as the traditional AT&T, you know, telephone system, right? And had to break it up. And of course, everything that got broken off, they took control of, right? So you see where this power shift is. And so one of the things is they had hit on the postal service so bad. Excuse me.
You all right there?
Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. Unprofessional of me. anyway, they hit it so bad that, yeah, the postal service was going bankrupt, and that was the big thing, especially after it had been completely diversified. And here comes Amazon to the rescue. But the thing is, Amazon says we need Sunday deliveries, and of course the traditional system here was the postal service was closed on Sundays, because Sunday is the day of our Lord and Savior here in the United States, right? So that was
the same
our
here.
Sabbath. That was, you know, that was, you know, thing. And so that has always bothered them. So here comes Bezos, of course, doing that. I'll get you what you need, but you have to, you know, do a cardinal sin in exchange. And, of course, everybody's happy that their Amazon stuff comes on Sunday now with special U.S. mail courier. So that's my little take on that. Now, we should be going into a break here just in a second. But you are listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack, and my very special guest this evening is Mr. Malefica Scott from the UK around Cornwall. And he's letting us know what he's seeing and what he wants to talk about. And after the break, we'll be opening up the phone lines, 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. So we look forward to your calls. And Maleficus, last word before the break.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure to be back on RBN. It's my second time here, and it's great to have been invited back on with you, Blackbird. Brilliant. I'm chuffed. It's always nice to catch up and have a chat.
Oh, yes. I love this format, too, especially when the callers start up. So, the idea of gradualism, we'll just keep going with that, is we always talk about the boiling a frog. You know, for those not familiar with that story, is if you have a pot of boiling water and you throw a live frog in, the frog will jump out because the water's too hot. But if you take cold water, like what the frog is used to, it'll just settle in the bottom, and then you just gradually turn up the heat. And if you do it gradual enough, the frog will sit there and cook to death, right? Yeah. And that is the mindset of, you know, that cultural Marxist, you know, Marxist terrorist, you know, model is just two step forward, one step back until we have complete control of everything. And then we reveal who's really in control, right? So that idea of gradualism is very key to the Marxist theory. So anyway, we'll be back after these messages.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Now, taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate. But I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways. Because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
All right, we are back. You are listening to Frederick Blackburn here on RBN. And if you have the resources, you know, always, always, always please support RBN. They just do so much great work out there. They've got, you know, just go to the main website and you can donate there. But, you know, keep shows like this one and all the other great shows on the air by, you know, doing what you can. I know times are tough, but, you know, this is one of the few outlets where you can have a bad sense of humor like mine and not get shut down, right? So anyway, but our guest tonight is Mr. Malefica Scott from the UK. And, Malefica, we're going to open up the phone lines here and take Mr. Chance in West Virginia. Mr. Chance, what do you want to talk about tonight, good sir?
Howdy-ho. Howdy-ho, Snack Shackster and Mr. Guest.
Forgive me, Mr. Guest, but I'm not going to even attempt to pronounce your name, because if I do, I'll sound like Elmer Fudd, and you'll probably laugh at me. Well, listen, guys, you know, boy, they're tearing away all the statues of white men and replacing them with crap turds, literally. Wow, man, had it enough yet, folks? That's all I got to say. Hey, listen, guys, you know, I need to get back to the good old days. Maybe you can help me, Snack Shackster. Remember those days? Those days when, let's see, I'm trying to think. Now, there's so much crazy stuff going. Oh, back when the nation's leaders, role models, weren't guys named Corn Pop. You know, that reminds me of a cowboy in chaps on a box of damn cereal. You know, and in the days when you could identify and name the make and model of every car that you saw on the road. The days when you didn't need a jackhammer and a blowtorch to open product packaging. You know, back in the days when people laughed and joked about the insanity around them rather than bicker and argue about it. You know, and also back to the days when your woman didn't demand to be the center of attention 24/7. As if the planets revolved around her very presence. Oh, I long for those days, guys, don't you?
What do you think, Malefkus? Happy days?
Oh, man, you're totally right about how people used to joke about the insanity. And people now are, I think there's a lot of egg on face with certain people because they think they realize they've made the wrong decisions about certain things over the last 3 years. So now everyone's very protective about the insanity, because they've got a little bit of skin in the game, you know?
And that is why, guys, I prefer the company of my four-legged pets, and that's it. Okay, ciao, guys. Great show.
All right. 8252, and we're talking with Mr. Malefica Scott from Cornwall. And, you know, while I'm thinking about it, could you deliver a message to me for me to Mr. Twilly there in Cornwall, and also Cornwall Live, you know, and thank them for all of my comments while they were going after our good friend Graham Hart. So just, you know, pass that along for me. Tell him Goober says hey.
We don't call it Cornwall Live down here. We call it Cornwall Lies.
Oh, very good. Yes,
the newspaper itself
shocked.
Is actually
okay. So this itself. Little, you know, what's on that? Basically, it's like a weekly what's happening in the area freebie newspaper, right?
Yes. Yeah. Online only. Yeah.
Online. Okay. They don't even have a paper copy.
Ukraine. It bears the colors of the Ukraine in its emblem. Isn't that just wonderful, heartwarming, uplifting, and really makes you want to trust them?
Right. So I'm like trying to comment on this article, and they keep deleting my comments. And I'm like, okay, I'm being used as a piece of evidence in this trial, you know, and, you know, not to throw that card out, but my dad fought in World War II, and, like, I'm a son of a veteran, and, you know, this is what, you know, we get out of this deal. You know, I thought we were protecting free speech in the, you know, the kingdom, right? And then when it escalated to the BBC, and the BBC was deleting my comments. And I'm like, seriously? I think they've been talking to the Watauga Democrat again or something, you know? But
they didn't want you in the running for anti-Semite of the year that year. That's all it was.
Know.
You've been trying for years, BB, and it's just not happening, is it?
It's just not. No matter what I do, I can't get my face on the cover of the ADL. It's the darndest thing. And to get beat out by, you know, two black guys, that was just a bad list here, you know. That was just
that must have smarted a little.
It did, you know. Actually, three black guys. So there you go.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have a guy over here causing a similar stir. You guys may have heard, well, you will have heard over the, you mentioned it during your opening statements about MP and Andrew Bridgen over here, talking about the comparison between the vaccine rollout and World War II era genocide. and of course, you know, as what was it he said? As a nation, we should be very proud of what. Confirming Britain's suspension on Wednesday, Conservative chief whip Simon Hart said the 58-year-old had crossed the line and caused great offence. As a nation, we should be very proud of what has been achieved through the vaccine program. Hart said, the vaccine is the best defence against COVID that we have. I mean, and then he goes on to talk about misinformation about the vaccine causes harm and costs lives. Yeah,
right.
Back at you.
Okay, well, we got some callers backing up here, so let's take Mr. Larkin, Texas, Mr. Producer. Mr. Lark, are you there?
Hey, guys. Yeah, can y'all hear me?
Hey, Lark. Yeah, good to hear you.
Yeah, listen, I just thought I'd weigh in with just something that might have escaped some people's attention. But when we're talking about companies like Amazon, as Maleficus terms it, what we're really talking about is a new communitarian system. And it's called, very simply, you can search this, Transportation as a Service, or TAAS. It refers to the buying of miles, trips, and or experiences, and none of the hassles of ownership, which includes the buying and financing of the vehicles, maintenance, gas, insurance, traffic, actual driving, and sometimes even finding and paying for storage. Now, this extends to even the airline industry, all forms of economic distribution patterns around the globe. And so what we're really talking about is social engineering as a service, which also can be searched on the internet. So I know it might be new to y'all, but check it out. Transportation as a Service.
Well,
the future of transportation. That includes distribution and everything else.
You and I have talked about this, but I'm going to toss it over to Maleficus. Maleficus, what's your take on what Lark has been talking about here?
I totally agree. Essentially, everything is being centralized into, you know, I mean, let's not forget the Royal Mail had to step aside and allow healthy competition. So, and that's within the country on a national basis. But when you're talking about an international company, who's going to police them for healthy competition? Nobody, because it suits the agenda, because it's all part of this centralization that Lark is talking about. So, yeah, absolutely. I totally agree, Lark. And it's nice to hear your voice again, by the way.
Yeah, and by the way, this all ties into what we call social impact bonds. Because when they say you're going to own nothing, and you're going to like it by 2030, that's Agenda 2030, they mean it. And the people that are really drilling down in how this new economic system is going to be working are the ones that are naturally capitalizing on it. So, yeah, it's very useful to look into social impact bond investing. And if y'all ever want to talk about it, we can talk about how it ties into social emotional learning. And that's in the school systems and the universities, and how that ties into ESG scoring, very much like what China has today. That's emotional social governance. And it's quite fascinating how it all ties together, but it can be tracked pretty simply in really just about 5 minutes. And a lot of people, mm-hmm. I think, would be benefiting if they could actually just learn exactly in a very short, sweet presentation how it all works. Appreciate it,
right.
Guys.
Yeah, thanks for the call. And definitely want to talk to you soon about coming back on the Breakfast Club show. But yeah, you know, with these people, independence is the bad word. That's the sin word. And you can't have an independent peer-to-peer system like what we're trying to do with this constitutional republic over here. you know, they want a dependent master-slave system where they get to dictate to you where you can go, where you can't go, what you can have, what you can't have. And so this is just part of that, you know, New World Order master plan and the idea of the vehicles, you know, being more and more limited and more traced here, especially here in the United States. You know, it's amazing what, you know, the tracking capabilities are mandate on the vehicles here. And, you know, the other aspect of the Clarity Plan is, you know, if the goal is to have a brown slave population with the IQ of 80, then, you know, you're not going to be able to drive in modern traffic, and so it's going to have to be robot driven because only the robot would be smart enough to be able to deal with, you know, all the gotchas. You know, so that's the other aspect of Clarity. So we've got Mr. Daniel from British Columbia. Mr. Daniel, how are you this evening, good sir?
Good evening, gentlemen. Good to hear you. So I did a little bit of digging. 465 pages, Maxwell definition, had to be for Jeffrey Epstein. This is all before he was first arrested, I believe.
So okay, can I get you to repeat that because you were breaking up a little bit? So repeat what you just said and introduce that.
Sure, I've got there's page 410 of 465 pages of Ghislaine Maxwell deposition. For Jeffrey Epstein before he was arrested, I believe. So this is a few years back. Did that come through okay?
Yes, that sounded great. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I got four questions and four answers real quick, and just to see what you think. So I had to dig through all these 465 pages to find some interesting tidbits. Question, did he, Jeffrey Epstein, work for the U.S. government? And Ghislaine answers, I have no knowledge. I don't recollect him telling me he worked for the government. Question, does Jeffrey Epstein have any affiliation with the Israeli government? And then the lawyer interrupts, objection to the form and foundation. So there's an objection there. And then she goes ahead and answers, I have no knowledge of that. Question, do you know if he ever performed any work for the Israeli government? Answer, I have no knowledge of that. And finally, have you ever visited Israel with Jeffrey Epstein? I'm sorry, I don't recollect. So instead of no, she says, I don't recollect. Now, if you and Mr. Scott ever took, 10 private jet vacations or trips to different countries, I'm sure you would remember if you've been to one or the other. But she goes ahead and says, I don't recollect. So, I mean, they got her on that, but that whole thing was buried. It just became a story about like a pedophile ring when it was more of a blackmail ring. So I just wondered what you two gentlemen thought about where this thing is going, if it's pretty much buried forever, what have you. And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, great call. Thanks for calling. What do you think, Olufkas?
I think that this has been rolled out because people knew what was going on. And I think what's going to happen is that they're just going to drag the whole process on for so long that the public will weary of it. And in the end, they're just going to say, actually, we don't give a toss what happened to Ghislaine Maxwell. And there will be some people that aren't like that, but the public has a very, very short memory, and they're very susceptible to shiny things, shiny distractions. So sadly, it was definitely a honey trap operation. There's no two ways about that. But I don't think it was a one off. I think there are probably hundreds or maybe even thousands of these operations going on worldwide to keep people. Wealthy and powerful people under the thumb. And, I don't think we're never going to know the truth about everything that went on with that. I personally, the photographs I saw of Jeffrey Epstein being wheeled on a gurney, his head that you could just see in between the supposed paramedics that were there was bigger than everyone's head that was in the foreground. So I highly suspect that that was a photoshopped photo done specifically for the purpose of allowing the public to think that the guy was dead. I'm really not sure that he was. He's probably undergone some plastic surgery and is sipping champagne on a nice balcony overlooking the West Bank. I mean, it's not unreasonable to think that, is it?
Oh, not at all, considering how that all went down, and that you've got units like Unit 269 with Ehud Barak that are trained in just how to do that sort of operation. Go in, you know, breach, extract, and exit. You know, that's what they do, well, right?
I mean, going back to, I mean, this, because that's a really good question from the listener, by the way. Going back to Ghislaine's father, Robert Maxwell, why would they bump the guy off? You know, apparently he was out on his yacht, and they, according to Ghislaine, they threw him overboard and drowned him. They killed him, i.e. the Mossad. That's who she was referring to. You know, if you listen to the Maria Farmer telephone conversations, a lot of that stuff, all the anecdotal stuff that she brings up, and because she's so disjointed in how she actually, when she's recalling things, it comes across as very natural. So I would err towards the side of the fact that Maria Farmer was pretty genuine. And what she wasn't genuine about, maybe she had just absorbed from, you know, what she'd been told. But, you know, why would the Mossad kill one of their own agents in the middle of the ocean, right, drown him, and then bury him on Temple Mount? Why would they do that? That just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, are we talking, is this some sort of ritual sacrifice that I'm not aware of? To, you know, Talmudic ritual sacrifice? I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, Robert Maxwell was classed as one of the best assets the Mossad had. And they why would they bump him off and then bury him on Temple Mount? It just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. So there's a lot to do with all this whole scenario. That it's just smoke and mirrors and muddy water, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's the thing of the slime mold. You know, it's a mind parasite because it attacks your reasoning skills, and it's not designed to ever come up with a right answer. It's designed to exhaust the reasoning skill into a state of learned helplessness. And, you know, when he was going through those four questions and answers, all I could think about was the classic Iran-Contra Israel hearings of the 1980s, 90s, and Alberto Gonzalez and Colonel Oliver North, you know. And, you know, they always say Iran-Contra. They always leave out that Israel was the one working both sides. It was the Iran-Contra-Israel scandal. They got caught selling drugs for weapons. Gee, like what they always do, right? And Humberto Gonzalez, you know, every question was just, I don't recall. I don't recall. And it was just this pill-pull block. You know, it's a legalese sleaze trick. You know, probably one of Trotsky's dirty tricks when he was practicing law. But it's just to stymie the court. And, you know, I can just see Ghislaine, you know, doing that, just laughing at the stupid goyim. It's like, you know, she's probably sitting there going, I'm going to have you all killed. You know, that kind of mindset, you know.
It's just, you know, working on the basis of plausible deniability, isn't it? You know, oh, I don't recall. Well, she might not be able to recall it. I suppose that's a reasonable thing to say. You know, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? And I don't think, as the good listener said, I don't think me or you would get away with that in a court of law. I really don't.
No. It doesn't work that way, you know.
No, I wouldn't.
We would have white privilege to contend with, as opposed to chicken swinging privilege. Totally different head, you know. Our courts don't apply to them, you know. This is just a nuisance to them, right?
Yeah,
so, anyway, what else you want to talk about? But I love the idea of the gradualism, and that, you know, that's what we're up against. And it's the full spectrum. The other thing that, you know, you're talking about the Epstein body, you know, is that the same guy? Because the ears didn't match, the nose didn't match. You know, basic forensic fail there, right?
Yeah.
And
basic Photoshop fail.
And the big thing with fifth generation warfare is, you know, the deep fakes and the deceptions. And, you know, from, you know, Sun Tzu on up, you know, war is deception by its definition. And, you know, the level that these dark magicians have been able to, you know, bring deception to such a level that, you know, we control what you think. It's like the Outer Limits show used to, you know, talk about. But, yeah, that's just how much they're manipulating the reality in the news cycles, you know.
They really are. And it's not just the news cycles. Going back to what Lark was saying earlier about how, you know, about how they're combining the various things, you know, the sort of the education system over here. My daughter, I don't know whether you caught mine and Andy's Limey show last Monday, but I was talking about my daughter during her geography lesson, was asked to write two paragraphs on why immigration is a good thing. And, you know, she had to sort of talk about why it was a good thing that migrants didn't have to live in a war-torn country anymore and all this kind of thing. And when I contacted the school regarding it and said, why is a political agenda being taught in a geography lesson? They said, well, no, it was a point of discussion. And we were asking why immigration was such a political subject. Well, why then did my daughter feel compelled to write what she had to write? And when I asked her that, she said, well, she didn't tell us anything different. You know, there was no alternative side to what the teacher was saying. But the written response I got back was, well, of course, you know, as teachers, we're not allowed to put across a political opinion. It was purely, you know, as a point of debate and discussion. Well, why not give both sides then? You know, and so you know, it does go that far. So gradualism again, just creeping in. How insidious is that? And when I explain,
that's lying to a child because you're lying by omission,
either exactly.
by you know, consent, or you're being intimidated. You know that you lose your job if you tell the other side of the story, right? But to lie to a child and have that state sanctioned, and there was a college in Virginia, our sister state to the north of North Kakalaki, that just announced that something like all the students and all the faculty of the medical center are going to have to submit the diversity, inclusivity, and equity pledge, right? About why DEI, you know, I don't call it DEI, you know, over here, that's what they try to brand it. It's like, no, it's DIE, D-I-E, because that's what you want us to do with this, right? But yeah. Basically, everybody would have to submit their little essay about why diversity, inclusivity, and equity is such a great thing, or else, you know, you're not going to get a seat in the school. You're not going to get, any type of progress in the school. Will shut you down. That's the implication, right? And everybody's fine with that. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, everyone is fine with having all their liberties taken away from them anyway, as long as they can keep their creature comforts. That seems to be the society that we live in today.
You know, yeah, give me my Skinner box, you know. I want my Hot Pockets and my Tendies and my video games, and y'all can do whatever y'all want, you know.
Yeah, exactly so. That.
Oh, my friend, we are already out of time. We've been talking to the incredible Maleficus Scott. Maleficus, last word real fast.
Giuseppe says he's got the fastest hour in radio. I disagree. It's got to be Blackbird 9.
All right. Well, you have been listening to the Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn, and I'd like to thank you for coming out. And until next time, I will see you all at the rendezvous.
It tastes good, the chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny weights, because I always had to take an old cold tater away.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.